You've chosen a significant day to join us. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll introduces a practical series called Searching the Scriptures. In many respects, this study has been 60 years in the making. Over the next several weeks, you'll hear Chuck describe the techniques he's employed since his seminary days. These are transferable lessons for anyone who's curious to learn more about the Bible. We'll discover how to prepare spiritual meals on our own by applying these basic skills in our personal times with God. Chuck titled his first message, Choosing the Recipe, Pursuing the Treasures of Scripture.
You'll find an outline for the message in your worship folder, which you may want to place here at the crease of your Bible at Psalm 119, from which I want to read several verses through this psalm to sort of set the stage for what we are calling pursuing the treasures of the Scripture. The series we've titled Searching the Scriptures. The purpose is to help people understand how to dig into the Word and prepare your own mind with a knowledge of God's Word on your own without anyone else's help or assistance. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 1, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey His laws and search for Him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in His paths. Verse 9. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I've tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. Now ahead to verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I'm always thinking of your laws. I'm even wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments. I have refused to walk on any evil path so that I may remain obedient to your word. I haven't turned away from your regulations, for you have taught me well. How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. May God open to our minds an understanding of this psalm and other sections of Scripture as we seek to search His word on our own, preparing our own meals for our own nourishment.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck called Choosing the Recipe, Pursuing the Treasures of Scripture.
There are few subjects more important than the one we dig into today. It is one that I hope will transform your life. Not an exaggerated statement. The truths I'm sharing have transformed my life and have continued to do so for the last 55 years. You see, it was in 1959, 59-60, my first year as a student at Dallas Seminary, that I was made aware of the fact that I could not cook for myself. I couldn't prepare my own meals. Now, I had carried a Bible most of my life. I had certainly loved God's Word. I'd heard it taught and preached. I'd continued to believe it. Certainly it came in handy during my years in the Marine Corps. It was always valuable to me, but I realized that all of the truths I had been taking in up till that time had been cooked by someone else, prepared by them, mixed by them, served by them, and I simply was sitting at the feast or banquet table of their serving. Until the 1959-60 era, when a master chef named Howard G. Hendricks opened God's Word and taught us as a class in a subject he called Bible Study Methods. The sound of the course seemed rather bland, Bible Study Methods. But about 3 or 4 weeks into the course, I realized what I'd been missing all of my adult life. I realized that I needed to know how to prepare my own meals, and I had never been taught how to do that. Not really. I'd heard others, and I realized how gifted and capable they were, and I would often sit in awe, take notes, and just appreciate so much the meal that had been served. I was sometimes nourished by them. I rarely remembered them, but they were helpful at the time. And then when Dr. Hendricks helped all of us in the class realize how to do it for yourself, we discovered what was involved in doing our own grocery shopping, finding the right food, coming to it in the right way, digging into it so that we could grasp the benefit of it, letting it speak for itself, and then ultimately turning around and teaching others from what we had learned. It dawned on me while I was away recently that I have never passed along to you the principles that have transformed my life. Truth be told, a week never passes without my using one or more of the principles I'll be sharing. Not a week. No message is ever prepared without my going through a process I'm going to be teaching you. And when I realized how transforming this could be, I thought I have no right to keep it from you or anyone else who may want to know how to get into the Word of God on your own. You need to come to the place where you don't have to have someone else prepare your own food or to serve it for you, though there is benefit in that. You need to know the joy of discovery, the pleasure of doing your own digging and fixing of that meal so that from one day to the next, from 1 week to the next, from 1 year to the next, you become, if you will, spiritually, scripturally self-sustaining. How valuable is that? I'm calling the series Searching the Scriptures. In these talks, today I want to pursue the treasures of the Scriptures. Next time we're together and you cannot afford to miss one, trust me, it's like math. One builds on the other. The next time we're together, we'll be observing the text of Scripture. The next time we will be probing the meaning of the Scripture. Fourth time, we will be looking elsewhere at other verses, other truths, comparing the truths of Scripture, and then we'll be applying the wisdom of Scripture. We'll be dealing with the four steps: observation, interpretation, correlation, application. You see, the Bible was never given simply to satisfy idle curiosity. The Bible was not written for the clergy so that we would have something to say. The Bible was given for your sake and has been provided in your language so that you might, in the Bible you carry, learn how to prepare your meals and then take those truths, not only feed yourself, but who knows what the future may hold, to use those truths in the lives of someone else. For all we know, before we reach the end of our lives, we will be incarcerated because we're Christians. And in that cell, you may be the only one able to teach the others, other cellmates, how to draw spiritual strength and nourishment so they can go on through this critical time. But even in the reading of it, it is easy to miss so much. As a result, a Bible becomes a dusty book that sits on a table in our house. One wag has called it the world's best-selling coffee table book. It's never meant to be a coffee table book. It was never meant to be an oversized, impressive volume that causes your neighbors or friends who visit to go, "Whoa, look at that, the Bible." It was given to be put to use. A Bible that's doing its job becomes well-worn, well-marked. Its pages begin to fray as the user, like you would turn to a guidebook or a handbook, turns to it to come to know it, to follow its teachings, to learn how to probe deeper. Like an archaeologist looking for treasure, you must have the right tools, and those tools will lead you to the clues. And when you see the clues, you will then learn where to go for the evidence and then how to take that evidence and put it to use in your life. So please, with that, turn to Psalm 119. I've chosen this. I could have chosen any other section of the Bible, but this one is a good place to start. As we pursue the treasures of the Scriptures, let's begin with this psalm. Look at it. Just take a glance at the psalm, and when you leaf your way through it, you discover it's a long psalm. In fact, it's the longest of all the psalms, 176 verses. There's a reason there are 176. I'll get to that in a moment. But look at the psalm. It fits into what the Hebrews called their Psalter, P-S-A-L-T-E-R. An ancient word for a hymnal. It was from this book, the Psalms, the Hebrews sang their hymns. They're the ancient song. The word means psalms. Each one of the psalms represents a song. Every song, if it's long enough, has stanzas. Every stanza has verses. Look at this one, and for example, it seems a little bit weird to the English reader. Right away, you come across a word you're not familiar with, Aleph. 8 verses later, when you get to verse 9, you come to the word Beth or Beth. 8 verses later, you come to the word Gimel. 8 verses later, Dalet. Then Hey, Wow, Zion, Keth, Teth, Yoth, Kaf, Lamed, Mem, Nun, Samek, Ayin, Pei, Tzadi, Kof, Rei, Shin, Tau. What am I doing? I'm not into tongues. I'm giving you the alphabet of the Hebrew. 22 characters in the Hebrew alphabet, 22 stanzas, 8 verses each, 22 times 8, 176. Why are these letters here in our Bibles? And I'm so grateful that they've been transliterated for us. You couldn't read the Hebrew, so they are transliterated. The first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, is the same letter that all 8 verses beneath this first stanza begin. Verse 1 begins in the Hebrew Bible with Aleph. Verse 2 begins in the Hebrew Bible with Aleph. Verse 3, Aleph. Verse 4, Aleph. Verse 5, Aleph. You get to the second stanza, verse 9, all the verses begin with B. Beth. Verse 9 begins with Beth. Verse 10 begins with that. Why would the psalmist have gone to the trouble of writing an acrostic like that? Why would he do it? Think about it. The ancient Hebrews who loved the Lord took their Bible seriously. And though they read the Bible from scrolls, they would commit to memory sections of the scriptures. And it was an aid in scripture memory for children growing up. As if they were in school learning the alphabet, they would come to this psalm and they would teach their children this psalm by having those first eight verses begin with the same letter. And it would be a memory prompter. When they got to verse 9, they'd get to the second letter, and it would prompt the memory of these eight verses of this second part of the psalm. And on it goes. It's been preserved for us in this manner. There's an old German version of Psalm 119 that has this as its heading. This is the Christian's golden ABC of praise, love, power, and use of the Word of God. This psalm is an ABC of the love of God, the power of God, the praise of God, and the use of His Word in everyday life. What's interesting also about Psalm 119, if you take the time to digest the verses, is that all but four of the verses are directed to the Lord Himself. Verses 1 through 3 are not, and verse 115 is not, but all the rest are. See in verse 1, joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Look at verse 2, His laws. Joyful are those who obey His laws. It's a reference to the scriptures. Verse 3, they do not compromise with evil. They walk only in His paths. This is a statement regarding those who take God seriously. When you get to verse 4, you come across that telltale clue that this psalm is a prayer. You. Verse 4, you have charged us to keep your commandments. Oh, that my actions, verse 5, oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. It's written to the Lord God. Verse 6, then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. Verse 7, as I learn your righteous regulations, and on, all the way through Psalm 119, except for verses 1 to 3 and 115, you, the Lord God, is addressed. We do that every time we pray. We begin with words like, Dear God, or Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, or we praise you, because of your grace. Or today we bring before you our need. You hear it? We're praying. We're addressing the Lord God. That's what the psalm is doing. So if you wonder about a psalm you can use as a guide for prayer, this is a great one. And furthermore, the major theme, not surprisingly, is the Word of God. There is hardly a verse that does not have reference to God's word in one of the synonyms. Let me show you. Verse 1, joyful are people of integrity who follow, here's a synonym for the word of God, the instructions of the Lord. Verse 2, joyful are those who obey, here's a synonym of the scriptures, His laws. Verse 4, you have charged us to keep, here it is again, a synonym, your commandments. Verse 6 refers to commands. Verse 10, commands. These are all references to the Word of God. I love the phrase in verse 7, or the statement in verse 7 regarding righteous regulations. Isn't that a great rendering in the New Living? As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. Look at verse 9. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. That's the scriptures. Look at verse 11. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verse 12, your decrees. Verse 13, the regulations. Verses 14 and 15, your laws, your commandments, your decrees, your word. All the way through these 176 verses, you will read words related to the word of God. The psalmist is caught up in praise to God for giving him his word. You know what you can do when you read through a psalm like this? You could take your pen or your pencil and simply underline the synonym. You come to a word that refers to the Lord's word and you just mark it. You say, Chuck, I'm not a preacher. Would you get that out of your head? I know you're not a preacher. Remember, the book isn't written to preachers. It's written to believers. Are you that? You qualify as a believer? Yes. I would say most of you do. Then you have every reason to become acquainted, not with a coffee table book, but with a guidebook for your life. God has preserved his word. People have literally, as you will hear by the end of the message, people have literally given their lives to make sure we have this word of God preserved, and now in our own language, in our own mother tongue, we're able to read the word of God. Now, it's going to require some discipline. Just as I had to apply it when I first heard how to cook my own meals spiritually, you will have to apply some discipline along the way. Some of it will not come easily, but your digging into it will pay rich dividends because of the treasures that you are going to uncover and discover. The digging will be well worth it, I can assure you. Now, let me add here, it will take time, it will take discipline for you to do the job that's necessary to prepare your own meals. It's hard to cook your own meals. Right? Right. I'll answer. Yes, that's right. But to prepare it yourself, what? Well, you got to get a grocery list. You got to think about what your menu will be. You got to think about what's nutritious, what you can afford. You got to put together in your mind the meal for the days, whether it will be breakfast or lunch or dinner. And you put all of that together, and then you come home and you've got the work in front of you. You need to peel whatever, clean whatever, cook, bake, fry, whatever. In Texas, you fry most of it. So whatever you're going to fry, you're going to fry it. But you've got to learn how to do that. If you don't, you're eating someone else's cooking. You've been doing that all of your life. Without in any way wanting to insult you, that's why you are biblically illiterate. Some of you. So how do you survive on spiritual food? From your own study. From your own learning of the scriptures.
Well, Chuck Swindoll has set the stage for what promises to be a life-changing series. We're learning to prepare our own spiritual meals so that we benefit from the nutritious wisdom of the Bible. You're listening to Insight for Living, and this is the first day in this 8-part series called Searching the Scriptures. For related Bible study resources and materials, go to insightworld.org. Over the last several weeks, you've heard Chuck describe the deep financial need facing Insight for Living Ministries. Well, gratefully, we've heard from hundreds of loyal friends who've responded. We applaud your willingness to help turn the tide by becoming a monthly companion. Some have listened to Chuck teach the Bible for 5, 10, 20 years or more. And becoming a monthly companion gives them an effective way to say thanks. Well, maybe it's time for you to take this step, too. A monthly companion agrees to give a donation every month, and signing up doesn't take a lot of time. But your consistent support makes a huge difference because you allow others just like yourself to benefit from Chuck's Bible teaching every day. To get started, go to insight.org/monthly companion. Or if you prefer, give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. And one of our ministry representatives will be happy to walk you through the process. As a bonus, we've arranged to give our new monthly companions a thank you gift. With your first contribution as a monthly companion, we're prepared to send a copy of Chuck's latest book called What If God Has Other Plans? Each of the chapters addresses a relevant question, such as what if you need a second chance? Or what if your boss is unfair and disrespectful? To receive a copy of this new book, it's our thank you gift to those who step forward as a first-time monthly companion. If you're listening in the U.S., call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Step onto the ancient theatrical stage where biblical history was written. Experience The Land and the Book with Chuck Swindoll, March 1st through 12th, 2020.
Feel the cool breezes sweep across the Sea of Galilee. Walk along the banks of the Jordan. Take time to pause and reflect. Picture Jesus being baptized in this very river.
Tours leave for Israel every day. You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour where you benefit from Chuck Swindoll's insight.
This isn't a mere fact-finding trip. Insight for Living makes every effort to save time for your journey to be filled with adventure and yet punctuated with laughter and seasoned with spiritual moments you'll treasure for the rest of your life.
Call 888-447-0444.
You know, you'll never read your Bible the same way. Come with Cynthia and me to the land of Israel.
The dates are March 1st through 12th, 2020. Call 888-447-0444 or visit us online at insight.org/events. The Insight for Living Tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll continues his classic series called Searching the Scriptures. Join us on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Choosing the Recipe, Pursuing the Treasures of Scripture, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2016 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.